CliffCentral.com.
It's CliffCentral.com, and just after 7 o'clock, we are here to look after you this morning. We're going to get through this whole coronavirus thing together, right? Everybody keep your head and don't be an idiot.
Exactly.
It's common sense, right?
But common, Gareth, is not common.
You know me, right?
Yeah.
You always have said that I'm this negative pessimist, et cetera, et cetera. And look at me.
You mischaracterize it. I say that you're a little paranoid sometimes. You're not always the most optimistic person. But I don't say you're always a negative pessimist.
Okay.
And in this case, you've proven me right.
Well, there you go.
Oh. Is that a compliment? I've kept
my feet on the ground. I've stayed logical, sensible, mature. Look, I don't like to blow my own trumpet, but I think I'm doing okay. I think I'm doing all right.
Look, clearly, Big Brother Germany is not following your advice at all, Gareth.
What's happened? These
are just TV people also milking the moment for all that it's worth. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we understand the premise of Big Brother. You know, people stuck in a house and they don't have any access to the outside world. And this current season of Big Brother Germany started in the beginning of Feb, the 6th of Feb to be exact. Now, if you dial it back, you'll realize that was just when the international hoo-ha over the coronavirus was just starting. So these people got into the house and they have no idea what the coronavirus is or what is happening.
Oh, boy.
And just as of a few hours ago, the TV show made a special on telling the contestants about the coronavirus.
But why? Why did they do that?
Well, they're making a TV moment out of it.
It's like if you found people who had been living in a cave since before apartheid ended, and you brought them out of the cave, you would want to see their reaction to, like, we've got a black president, and everybody has the same rights, and you want to see how. If you removed someone from the time and put them in a capsule, how they'd respond to how things have changed.
Well, a similar story with Jared Leto. He only just yesterday, he went on a 14-day or a three-week solitary retreat.
Yeah, in the desert.
To meditate, and God knows what these people do.
Yeah.
And he's been exposed to this breaking story.
Oh, so he didn't know.
He had no idea about it, and then he said, but then he wishes us all safe and look after ourselves. Well,
but I think the producers were a little too cruel with the way they did it on Big Brother Germany. They started showing all of the news reports. You can't also just give people so much information in a matter of minutes. They're like, oh, by the way, yeah, you aren't allowed to leave the country, people are dying.
Yeah, take it easy. These people have just come out of nowhere. And
these contestants were crying.
Really, eh?
Someone works at an old age home and rightfully brought up what has happened to the elderly people in
my
old age
home. How many
friends
are dead?
One of the contestants' mother was already ill when they went into the house. So they were asking, can I reach my mother? Can you find out how she's doing?
Yeah. Nine!
So it might be horrible, but I actually want to see the full clip.
I want to start off with something useful, and we'll do this every day just so that you know what's happening, and it's not to get everybody panicky. But yesterday there were 62 infections in South Africa. Today there are 85.
Yeah, it gets updated like every 2 days. So there was no update yesterday.
No, there's no update.
Yeah, that 61 was from the day before. So it's 82, huh?
85.
What did you say?
85.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
85.
Can you just shut up while I do this and then we'll get on with it? The provinces that are affected, Limpopo, one infection, Gauteng, 45, Mpumalanga, 2, KwaZulu-Natal 16, and the Western Cape 21. Now, obviously, those are ones that the government know about. And the ages of people affected, most of the people, 25 of them, are between the ages of 31 and 40.
Ooh.
And luckily, other than that, there are, in the 41 to 50 category, 12 people. In the 51 to 60 category, 8. 61 to 72, and 71 to 84 people affected.
Oh.
Yeah, much younger than that. Only 3 people between the ages of 11 and 20.
And they don't give like a prognosis how these people are doing?
No, but we are keeping an eye on that because obviously on the big board of what's going on in international coronavirus, because there's a live update that happens there, 199,584 people are the total confirmed cases worldwide.
And what are we? How many deaths so far? 3,000 and something?
No, 7,975.
Oh, my math's not
obviously
good.
Most of those in China.
Not today.
Yeah. So the number of people recovered is growing. 81,271 have totally got over the virus. 143 countries out of 195 have been infected or have at least one infection. And really, on the board, we're not even there because China's right at the top, then Italy, then Iran, Spain, Germany, South Korea, France, United States, Switzerland, United Kingdom, Netherlands, Norway. And all the way down, you have to keep scrolling quite a lot, you get South Africa with our piddly 85 infections.
We are winners.
Well, so far. Well, but that's, of course, those are the numbers of cases we do know. They haven't even got a category open for Africa because actually Africa's done pretty well so far.
Is it comforting to you to have all these numbers? Because you were reading it as well yesterday.
I just think people need to know because there's so much misinformation being spread and there's so many people who just don't know what the hell's going on. And I'm not going to allow anybody to share bullshit information. Like, for example, if someone said, well, if you just drink hot lemon water, you can cure yourself of coronavirus.
It's a little too personal of an example.
Hypothetically, I'm not going to allow people to say that sort of nonsense.
If anyone were to say that, you would want to squash that immediately.
Hypothetically.
Yeah, no, sure, that's responsible.
I didn't say it like that.
Did you say?
I said it's a possible prevention.
Sure. So I think we're not talking about the people that are really suffering here. It's the people that have been on one good first date. Imagine, Damon, you've been on one great first date. She's amazing. Now what?
Well, you don't date at this stage.
But that's what I'm saying. You loved her. It was the first date. It went well. What do you do now?
You wait until at least September to see her again.
You build up the
tension. At least September.
You do video Skype.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, you contact each other on Zoom.
And then I pointed this out a couple of shows ago, that if you are probably not in an amazing space with your spouse and you have to be stuck together, oh shucks, I feel so bad for you. Imagine that.
Well, here are some things that are happening in the real world that are going to affect people. Carl says, I run a business that employs 140 people.
Well, not anymore.
Yesterday, we took measures to reduce everyone's salaries by 20%, and we may need to retrench. Corona is going to affect retail, and we're in the retail servicing business. That's a scary reality that people are going to have to deal with. How about we try to go for gold about hand wash? That's got the lowest COVID transmission. Yeah, that's a good point. I think everybody knows at this point, and if you don't know yet, you're like Jared Leto, you've been in the mountains for 3 weeks. Then washing your hands is the number one thing to do, and do it as often as you can. Do it like someone who has OCD. I can tell you, your hands get very dry, but it's worth it. You will have a less likely chance of getting this virus. In about 6 months' time, I want to see a comparison between how many people are dying from coronavirus against the normal flu. If the normal flu virus causes more deaths than corona, then everybody should stay in their houses forever and only use Uber Eats when they get hungry. I bet you the normal flu virus will win. It probably will. We still haven't found a way to deal with the normal flu, and it's been around longer than us.
Yeah.
We've never found a... You know, you get people who go for those flu shots, and there's about a 50-50 chance it helps.
Something like that.
What, those B-52 shots?
No, flu shot.
No, the actual flu vaccine. Mm-hmm. And some people have excellent results, and they stay clear all winter, and other people get it regardless of having the shot. So
despite the hot water with lemon juice.
Well, it's also because the flu virus is constantly changing, as I understand it. And these viruses are RNA-based, not DNA-based. So they mutate fairly quickly.
What's RNA?
Ribonucleic acid, as opposed to deoxyribonucleic.
I can't believe you didn't know that. Huh?
So our cells have DNA in their nucleus. That's what your chromosomes are made up of. That's your unique signature, genetic signature. That's DNA. And these viruses are RNA.
Very pedagogical. Pedological.
What?
Let's move on.
Paleontological, I think that's what you're trying to say.
No, he's not even trying to say
that. Oh, you're not trying to say that.
No, it's a mess.
Pedagogical, that's why.
I don't even get that.
All
right. Is that a new fragrance?
I was trying to. But you're missing out on it.
Here's some good advice, too. I suppose people could do this. Brendan says, if you went on holiday or business trip, just isolate yourself from the rest of us. Too many people coming back here and not giving a shit if they have it or not. Stop being selfish and stay at home. If you don't like being self-isolated, then don't travel. Good point. Sorry, that's a very good plan.
Gareth, have any potential guests on your show cancelled or refused to come?
No, but we've had one or two who have been traveling overseas, and we've decided, like Monday we had somebody in here, but they actually went for a test over the weekend.
And
they had to.
And some of you've cancelled a lot of meetings.
Well, just as a precaution, not because I'm super paranoid, but I think in case it is going around, I don't think it's fair to expose everybody here to.
So you trust me?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh.
Also, I think with what your body's been through, I don't think Corona's got a chance.
Well, there you go.
And Damon, don't know if you heard, there's a rumor about hot lemon water.
Yes, and you do the hot lemon water trick.
Yes.
Which is guaranteed 13% of the time to stop Corona.
Listen, I read about it on the internet.
It must be true. One of the reasons we did ask you to come in here, it's not the only reason, but Gord Laws has imposed a self-quarantine on himself.
Oh, why?
Well, he says, because he's fat, he's especially worried that he's going to be susceptible to this virus.
But I'm also fat.
I know, but you're not paranoid about being fat. He's extra fat and paranoid about being fat.
How's his blood pressure? How's his blood glucose levels?
Well, he says he's not taking any chances, so he's staying at home. He made this really great video, which is on the internet, of him sitting shirtless at home. Horrifying. And he's busy complaining about how, you know, he's going to self-quarantine and...
Huh. So how long is he self-quarantining for?
2 weeks, he says.
Really? But you see, he's in advertising?
Well, he says...
So I suppose he can work from home?
And there's very little work coming in for almost everyone in this country right now. I mean, if you're in communications, events, travel and tourism, it's dead out there. You may as well stay at home.
Well, thank God people don't mind. They still want like a good smelling corpse. I can still sell fragrances.
This is something I wanted to ask. So Damon and his wife Bernice sell fragrances.
Yeah, generic, yes.
The Fragrance Garden, which you can find on the internet.
Right? Oh, there you go. Good plug. Thank you. Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
I'll give it a plug, the actual URL.
Oh, fragrancegardencollection.co.za.
Could you have a longer URL?
Damon, it's ridiculous. I agree with you. We've had discussions about it. I lost that discussion.
You guys could have been millionaires if you just found a way to shorten that by 8 letters.
Oh, vase me.
I mean, people can't remember. All right, so anyway, you have this perfume business. Now, have you become so good at discerning the different smells from each other that you can almost identify just by smelling someone what
not
they were?
Not a hope in hell.
Really?
Because it's a personal thing. I, in particular, I have a very bad... They call it a bad nose. I've got a very bad nose. To me...
So you're perfect for the fragrance.
To me, all the fragrances smell the same.
They have those people who they employ at all the big perfume factories and the huge cosmetics houses.
Yes.
And these people are noses.
Exactly.
They are able
to... It's the same with wine. It's the same with food.
Right. These people have super smell.
Exactly.
And
I am super bad smell.
That's amazing.
Yeah. There are one or two fragrances that I will notice, but we have got about 1,000 different fragrances, so I really can't. I'm totally useless.
I would have thought by now you would have been able to pick up...
No, totally, I
and
can't.
And you don't know anything about the floral notes?
Oh, no, we know all about that.
Earth tone.
Oh, no.
You just can't identify.
No, like Bernice, she loves her spreadsheets.
Oh, okay.
And for every fragrance, she's divided into all the different notes. So somebody if somebody likes a certain fragrance and they want other fragrances, we will recommend, this other fragrance has the same notes as the other fragrance.
Because you know during the plague... And during the there was an outbreak of I think it was something akin to flu. There was some sort of viral outbreak at the in the 1600s, the court of Versailles of Louis XIV, and women and men used to douse their handkerchiefs in perfume and hold them to their noses. They thought that would somehow save them. So while we're talking about coronavirus, this is something a lot of people are probably not aware of, but in the old days, they thought that the perfume itself would kill whatever was in the air and would keep you
not
safe.
Not hot water with lemon juice.
No, but it's a close second.
It is, and it's timeless. I think your solution is timeless.
Yeah.
Could they boil water in the 1600s? I suppose they could, eh?
They could boil
water.
Put
a pot over a fire, hey?
Yeah. Game on fires. A fire's been around a little longer than...
No, I'm just checking.
Yeah.
That's great. Some people are saying that we're very patronizing to you, but then when they hear what you actually have to say, they don't feel it's patronizing at all.
Well, there you go.
I'm not being patronizing. Damon is having his say, and we're learning a lot.
I'm going to do the hand sanitizer, just one squish. Just
one squirt.
How's that?
Why do you feel the need to do it now? Have you been touching yourself inappropriately?
No, I want to just, it's all about learning and improving as a person.
Okay.
Sure. I wanted to just see if I've learned to squish correctly.
Well, I want your advice. I've got to go to a wedding on Saturday in Durban.
I hate these destination weddings.
Thank you, Damon.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, these are good friends.
Do they live in Durban?
No, they actually live in Dubai, and they've come back here. And most of the people are going to be in Durban.
Are they originally from Durban?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll forgive them.
So here's the deal. I need to go down to this wedding. It's probably going to be less than 100 people because most people will cancel because of this corona thing. So it's going to be a small gathering, which makes it even more important if you do go. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
If you care about these people, they care about you.
Do you care about them?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to go, and I'm flying down. I bought my tickets a while ago. Apparently, most of the planes are empty.
It's
a pleasure.
But isn't there a possibility that they're going to cancel all these flights?
Well,
so you might have to drive down.
Today is the day that they meant to stop all international flights from high-risk countries. Okay, so today's the day that the travel ban kicks in, but it doesn't affect domestic travel. As long as it's urgent,
When is this wedding again?
Friday. Well, it's Saturday. I'm flying on Friday.
Okay. First of all, it's definitely not urgent. Okay. It's a wedding.
Yeah.
Unless one of the bridal couple need a kidney from you.
Sure.
Which you wouldn't give anyway.
No, I wouldn't.
Your personality type just won't allow that.
To give a kidney.
Okay.
Gareth, I'm thinking, if I was you, I would drive down.
Mm-hmm.
If you really like these people, drive down. That's my advice.
Because then you can be in your own little tent
space
with your own germs. Nobody else. You don't infect anyone. They don't infect you.
Ooh, those germs for 6 hours.
I think you need to drive down.
Okay.
But it's a conundrum. It's a word conundrum.
Because
correct,
as far as I can tell, local flights are not cancelled. Most of the airlines are carrying on.
I've changed my mind. You just said the plane is going to be virtually empty.
Yeah.
Then fly. There you go.
All right.
I've made a judgment.
Any other useful takes on this?
A wise man can always change his mind. I'm inspired by Damon.
But you must go.
There's a but.
But you must go online
and check
and check yourself in to speed, so you don't have to stand in a long queue with people.
Well, there won't be any queue because nobody's flying.
There you go.
See.
Over the weekend, someone who got a lot of buzz around her was Naomi Campbell. Based on her video of how she's now choosing to fly. Because probably about a week or two ago, this photo of her in a proper hazmat suit, all covered up, got people chatting. So she decided to do a video of how and why she prepares for flying. So already she wipes down her plane seat. And so now she has a hazmat suit on. She wore gloves. She tucked all of her hair in. She put her handbags and her hand luggage in plastic bags. It's a little too much.
Well, you know what? Good for her. She hasn't been in the news for a long time.
Yes.
So good for her.
She hasn't thrown a phone at anyone in a while.
Exactly. Yeah. And when Madiba was around, she featured quite a bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But let's face it, we almost forgot about her. So good for her.
Any publicity is good publicity.
No, who's next?
Well, here's some useful advice. Someone says, if your hand sanitizer is drying out on your hands, add a dollop or two of aloe vera gel or vitamin E oil or liquid glycerine to your hand sanitizer. It will help with the dryness. Everybody's got advice.
Everyone has something.
You only get that dryness if you obsessively wash your hands 50 to 100 times a day.
Yeah.
Damn, you weren't right.
No, when my daughter was born, we were so paranoid about germs, babies don't have an immune system. So I actually, my hands did get sore and dry because I was washing my hands obsessively. So, there you go.
Gabriella says, I love Damon. At least he can listen to other people, unlike Gord. Plus, his stories are so bizarre, they make me feel completely normal. Thank you, Damon.
But I like Gord. I think Gord's fantastic, by the way. I watched actually the other day. I said, just by the way, I think Gord is excellent, and you just ignored me.
Sorry.
But I'm assuming you still saw the message.
I did.
There you go.
But ignored.
I saw the two ticks. The two blue ticks. I know you saw the message.
All right. Now but that I'm, you've alerted the whole nation that planes are empty, everyone is going to book a flight. We will miss you. When I die of the corona. Apparently, the airport is a hub of potential infection. I would avoid the flight if you do wipe down your seat, the surrounds, and the tray table.
Well, the thing is, when you fly down to Durban, it's only a 45-minute flight. Maybe an hour if there's a bit of a problem. So that's a plus, hey, Gareth? It's a short flight.
Now, how about this? This is very unsavory, and a lot of people will think it's completely insensitive. But that's sort of what we do.
And?
A corona death pool. Special version of the death pool.
Oh, my God. Oh, I hope not Mel Brooks. Do you see Mel Brooks' video?
Oh, this is hilarious.
Oh, I hope it's not him.
Oh, no.
He's 93. What a legend.
So Mel Brooks has got to be one of the best comedians that ever lived. He did that brilliant, brilliant movie called History of the World, which is still one of my favorite
And don't forget
things.
Spaceballs.
And the Spaceballs. Producers.
And don't forget
Please
the producers.
Please do not forget the producers.
Right, so there you go.
I love Mel Brooks.
Let's not forget all of those above.
And he's in Curb Your Enthusiasm
right,
for a
can
season.
We stop with all the different projects Mel Brooks has done? Because it's enough. I think people get a general idea. Go and look up Mel Brooks if you want to know more. But here he is. His son, Max, is standing outside Mel's house, but there's a glass window between them, because Mel Brooks is obviously very old, and Max has this to say, and it's good advice.
Hi, I'm Max Brooks. I'm 47 years old. This is my dad, Mel Brooks.
And there he is behind the glass.
He's 93. If I get the coronavirus, I'll probably be okay. But if I give it to him, he could give it to Carl Reiner, who could give it to Dick Van Dyke. And before I know it, I've wiped out a whole generation of comedic legends. When it comes to coronavirus, I have to think about who I can infect. And so should you. So practice social distancing. Avoid crowds, wash your hands, keep 6 feet away from people, and if you've got the option to stay home, just stay home. Do your part. Don't be a spreader. Right, Dad?
I'm going.
Love you.
All right, very nice. So that's Mel Brooks' son, Max.
Lovely when you see somebody like him. He's 93 years old,
yeah,
and he's still got a sense of humor. He's still with it. It's lovely.
Yeah, exactly.
It's horrible when they lose it.
All right, so shall we take Eleanor's advice and do a corona death pool, or do you think that's a bit mean?
So explain the – I like the death pool part, but just explain to me how does it work? What am I working with?
Well, because we're dealing with corona, it has to be people over 70 years old.
Okay.
So in other words, we cut all the people out of our usual death pool who are younger than 70, because there's a small likelihood of them dying from it. And then we award the prize money – so everyone puts in 100, and you get 5 names, for example.
Whoever's
people die, they get the money.
Yeah, it's very inconsiderate of Kirk Douglas to have died already, because I would have chosen him.
I did get lots of points on him. He was on my death pool list.
Okay, 103.
And God bless him, you know, he made his contribution to cinema.
I am Spartacus.
That's right, and we're sad that he's gone, but I did win a lot of points on him on the death pool. So
okay.
That's good news. I think I won. I think because he's over 100, though, I don't get that many. I think
All right.
So I like it.
Maybe it wasn't such a great thing. Amanda Bynes is pregnant. Does anyone care about that?
Well, she's got psychiatric problems.
Yeah, she's got big psychiatric problems. We spoke about her last week, and we said that she's had to check into this facility. She was trying to get out of checking in.
Oh, dear.
And she's now got a curator.
Yes.
Who's going to look after her. But she turns out to be pregnant as well.
How did that happen?
Obviously, terrible news for whatever, you know, boy or girl that child's going to grow up to be.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know what?
A mom like that,
you can give benefits of the doubt. If she sticks to her medication religiously for the rest of her life, then she'll be okay.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, in my experience and from what I've read, the biggest problem is psychiatric patients go off their medication. That's one of the biggest things.
Do you think parents should have to get a license to have kids, Damon?
Let me think. That's a tough one, hey?
Yeah, but here's the problem.
No, they can't. Purely from a logistical, time-consuming, financial point of view, governments struggle to get people's car licenses, so not practical. Theoretically, I agree with you to a certain degree, but it's just not practical.
And you said the word there. I mean, who's going to decide? Government?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to let this government that can't run parastatals, are you going to let them tell parents that they're incapable?
Mm.
I mean, if If we're issuing licenses for who should be able to run anything, this government would never get any licenses themselves.
But what one can do, and this is purely theoretical, is from the education system can, from a young age, teach people, young kids, about being good parents.
Tamagotchi. You should have that little creature that you look after.
Yes. Or a bag of flour. Remember that one episode of Frasier many years ago? Niles had to look after a bag of flour. That bag of flour did not last.
And a bag of flour is somewhat more resilient than a human child.
No, well, the thing is, the bag of flour is very tight and full, and it's paper. So it's easy to, you know, next second you've got flour all over the place.
All right, that's great. Did you see that Italy are specially making Pornhub free?
I didn't understand that.
Well, Italians are stuck at home.
In my experience, from what people have told me, Pornhub is already free.
Oh, from what people have told you.
From what I've heard.
Yes, from you heard it from a friend.
Pornhub is already free.
I just thought about that. Give me the hand sanitizer.
The story is a fake story because what they're alluding to is Pornhub Premier, from what I've heard. But quite frankly, you don't need it.
From what you've heard,
from what people tell me. You don't need Pornhub Premier, please, people.
Yeah. Why do you think you don't need it?
Because from what I heard, the free Pornhub is good enough. It really is. And from what I've heard, Stepmother is the best.
But that's
very personal. I don't want to sway you either way.
I would rather have Idris Elba come and cough right in my throat than continue this conversation.
Damon, I'm so glad you lived past the age of 20.
All right, here's someone saying...
No, well, it was 40.
Gareth, please stop talking about antiretrovirals. Have we mentioned antiretrovirals more than once?
No, we haven't. We've never mentioned it.
Certainly not this morning, but okay, I'll stop. This person says, Corona is not a retrovirus. ARVs are irrelevant. The last thing we need is for people to start misusing or stocking up or stealing ARVs. Then we will have a corona problem and an AIDS problem.
Who was that again? Who sent that message?
And by the way, they say AZT isn't a commonly used antiretroviral anymore. That's from Didi. All right, Didi, I hear you. I didn't say that. I said that there was speculation that because antiretrovirals work on viruses, that it may have some tangential role in curbing the spread of this virus. I didn't say I based that on any personal understanding. I'm not a virologist. You understand that?
Thing is, Gareth, you don't need to get defensive. You know that you didn't mention antiretrovirals.
Certainly not today.
Really, man?
And if it has come up before, it's only in respect of what everyone else
has. Shame on you ever sent that message.
Shame.
Wow.
Damon, you do seem to have a lot to say about Pornhub.
It's what he heard.
It's what I heard.
He's a good listener.
That's a great resource.
I'm like a sponge. I absorb my surroundings, my environment.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I'm in self-isolation after I got flu symptoms. That's what John is saying, or Jean. They're saying, I got some sage advice. Drink brandy with hot water. Now I'm drunk and I don't care about being sick. Peace and love.
Sure.
Very good. Good for you.
There you go.
From what I've heard, the ZCC has postponed the Easter gathering.
Yes, they only announced it yesterday.
Wow, that's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. I mean, it was going to be mass murder if they still kept it. I mean, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Hey guys, I'm working topless from my bed. Do you want to see my tits? That's great. Isn't that nice?
That is nice.
That's from Basitsana.
Oh, no.
Should we say yes?
Just say yes.
You know what? I know her.
You do?
I had lunch with her on Sunday.
Oh.
Keep your photos to yourself.
Is she a friend?
A very, very good friend. A dear friend.
Okay, so she's not a girlfriend, a friend.
No. A very dear friend, yeah.
All right,
there
so
you go.
Bulero says we should tell you not to.
Because there's only one Batsatsana.
Oh, it's because I know her mother. Now,
we can, very awkward.
Yeah, it gets awkward for me.
All right, well, Damon, thanks for popping by today. It's good to see you.
Oh, very nice. Thank you.
And
very
it's nice to see your daughter, Alexa, and I hope she wasn't too bored while you entertained her here.
Well, she got hold of my cell phone, and there you go.
Okay, lots of data being used up there. Well, all right, hey, guys, do you want some hand sanitizer?
Oh, okay.
Help yourselves. This is what we're doing
We're not forcing you.
Not at all.
It's merely by choice.
You can do it if you want to. Linda Muketsi and Sibu Mabena and Roxy Ferreira are here with us. In fact, I think Sibu's going to join us on the line. We're going to talk entrepreneurs and Epson ambassadors with them. If you're an entrepreneur, how has your entrepreneurship journey been? It's creative. It can be exciting. It reminds you of the power that you have to continue making a positive impact on the world. But we also have to face an uncomfortable truth. Entrepreneurship is really difficult. There are no shortcuts. There are no magic formulas to making piles of cash to appear in your bank account overnight. You have to work ridiculously hard. And anyone who tells you it's different is trying to sell you something. And you know, there are a lot of these people, these talks, and everyone's written a book, and there's some secret formula there isn't. And well, that's pretty much what these guys are here to tell us. You can rely on people who call it what it is. Thankfully, Epson have been a supporter and a partner in Innovative Entrepreneurs, and they've put together Epson Entrepreneurs, that's with a hashtag, Epson, E-P-S-O-N, Entrepreneurs, Linda Mukietzi, Sibu Mabena, and Roxy Ferreira, who are here to help us. They're successful in their own right, and this morning we're going to hear some of their truths, their hints, their tips, their insights, and hopefully that will help you. So first of all, let's introduce ourselves. Linda, nice to see you.
Nice to see you too, Gareth.
Thank you. LM Relations, tell me about your business.
So we're in shit. Excuse my friend.
Well, just because of the coronavirus.
110%. Yeah. So we were literally working on the South African Film and Television Awards, which were meant to actually be a live broadcast, as you're aware, a two-day event, 27th, 28th, at the Sandton Convention Center, and we've had to actually cancel.
What dates were those?
27th, 28th of March.
Sure.
And after the president's speech on Sunday, the CEO of the NFEF was like, guys, we can't.
Did you cry a little?
A little. So did my bank account.
Linda, I'm so sorry. This is the case for a lot of people in the events business and in public relations, in media, in advertising even.
Absolutely.
It's hard as hell right now.
And that's exactly what my business does. We've been operating for the past 7 years in the PR, marketing, and events space particularly. Having worked with the Gauteng Sports Awards, SA Sports Awards, a few corporate clients. We currently work with Peroni and Grolsch as well, reestablishing them back into South Africa after the AB and Bev deal.
Sure.
So a lot of that, it's been tricky. It's the last couple of days have been really tricky.
Well, we should talk. Maybe we can set up some kind of a virtual event.
Ooh.
Do something
that sounds dope, actually. Yeah,
they can find the money and we can do it for a lot less.
I'd love to have that conversation.
Yeah, video stream it. We can podcast it. We can meet the winners, do little interviews. They don't have to get into close proximity with hundreds of people.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, and then they can still we can still give honor to the South African Film and Television.
I'd love to have that conversation.
Because they deserve the credit.
Absolutely.
Not fair for all those people who've been working hard all year.
Absolutely.
To not be given credit for their tremendous work and their contribution to art. All right, so let's talk about that later, but that's LM Relations. Roxy Ferreira is here too.
Hi.
From Peruse Fashions.
Yes.
So tell me about that.
So Peruse Fashions is a retail store, online store, and a fashion brand essentially. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just like Linda was saying, it's also been super tough with us.
How's this affected you?
Our retail stores, especially because people are like very nervous to come inside and everything.
You have your own stores?
Yes. Okay. So my main store's in Parkhurst on 4th Avenue.
Right.
And it's such a wonderful, beautiful street and such a cool vibe. But yeah,
it's
usually
a buzz and people.
Yeah, I could definitely see from last week already, before even the State of the Nation address, that people were nervous to come out, and now after
the president's announcement,
it's just got like so much worse. So for us, it's been about being proactive and putting things in place to make customers feel comfortable, like hand sanitizers when they come in the store, cleaning the store properly, and then also just being proactive with our online store so people know they can shop online and they don't have to actually come in physically.
Well, we had to talk about this corona thing, but I do want us to carry on discussing your businesses as if it hadn't happened.
Sure.
Because obviously, what we're all looking for here is that the basics, the fundamentals, as they say, are in place.
Yeah.
Because if your business, in your case, Linda, has been around for 7 years, in your case, Roxy?
8 years, going on 9.
Right. Then you guys know. You've been through some ups and downs.
Yep.
It's never easy being an entrepreneur, and we'll find out a little bit more about your journey before Corona made it hard for everyone. But Sibu Mabena's on the line from the Duma Collective. Hi, Sibu, how are you?
Hi, everyone. I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Tell us a little bit about Duma Communication, Duma Collective.
So Duma Collective is a creative communications agency, and we use public relations, event consulting, creative direction, social media and influencers, as well as talent management and procurement as our communication drivers. So how I've survived is through diversification. So I think I'm not panicking, but I do see the effects.
So but, yeah. It sounds to me like what you do is you find a client and you say to them, what are your problems, and we'll help you solve them.
In a creative way,
right.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Well, how have you been weathering the storm in the last week or two?
I mean, firstly, I was supposed to be in studio high-fiving everybody, but here I am zooming in. So I suppose technology has helped a great deal. And
let's just be clear, the reason for that is because you've just been traveling overseas and we decided we would quarantine ourselves from you, right?
Yes, you quarantine from me, yes.
Where were you?
I was in New York, actually. Funny story, I have no symptoms and I've been trying to get tested, but yeah, I think I dodged the bullet by God's grace. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in New York, doing some work for Global Citizen, so... cool stuff. Some cool stuff coming up, actually.
So all three of you can answer some of these questions, because there are things that I hear in entrepreneurship circles, and some of them are just nonsense, and some of them are people looking for information and not always getting the truth. It seems a bit of a buzzword at the moment. Everybody wants to run their own business. Everybody wants to be self-employed and self-sufficient and create jobs for everyone else. But a lot of this stuff is fluff, and it's spin, and it's PR. Now, what would you say to people who are unrealistic about the world of entrepreneurship without putting them off, because they might actually have a good idea and they might want to do something that really is right up their alley and that can add value to the market? How do you tell them the truth without spoiling it for them? Do you want to go first, Roxy?
I think obviously being an entrepreneur is hard. When people say, like you said, oh, it's super easy, go and live your dream, like it is hard. But it's definitely rewarding, like the goods outweigh the bad, because you're starting your own thing. So for me, the way my business has grown, is by me always staying true to my vision and like what I believe in, and never compromising on that. And like learning wherever I can.
What's the biggest plus for you, and what's the biggest minus?
The biggest plus is doing what I love. Like, you know, the cheesy saying, like, if you do what you love, then you never work a day in your life or whatever. Right. That really is true, because it doesn't feel like, oh, I'm getting up, I have to go to this irritating job. Like, you love what you do. So that's the biggest plus for me. The biggest minus is obviously it's difficult and challenging. When times get tough, or if you have a bad day, or if you're sick, you can't call into a boss and say, sorry, I'm not coming in. And you're
like today.
You're like today.
So, Linda, would you agree?
100%. It's so important for a person to be self-actualized before they start their entrepreneurship journey, particularly because it takes everything that you have, right, for you to actually get it off the ground. It's great to have an idea. Everyone has ideas.
Yeah.
It's great to be passionate about something. Everyone has a passion point somewhat or not. But the actual guts and the risk that you take in leaving a comfortable job where you know your salary is guaranteed, whether you've been at work for 5 days or 30 days, is the actual chutzpah that you need. And that takes everything out of you. You need to be sober-minded. You need to be so focused. You need to know what you want. So it's so. For example, if you know what your shop's going to look like, in Roxy's case, right? Mm-hmm. I'm assuming when she started, she had an idea of how she wanted the rails to be laid out, what she wanted the consumer, the customer to feel like when they walked into her store, right?
Yeah.
And that's how detailed and how direct you have to be with your idea.
Yeah. The other thing that, like, I feel like most people wanting to be entrepreneurs don't realize is it's so multifaceted. Like, you don't decide, like in my case, I want to start a fashion brand and then it's just starting a fashion brand. Like, for me, it was learning logistics, quality control, manufacturing,
and let's be fair.
In a retail. Like, some of that stuff
is boring as hell, but you have to master.
You have to do the fun and the shitty side. I'm allowed to swear on the show. Yay!
It's Gareth's show. You're allowed to swear.
I was like, what is the word?
Siba, would you also agree with those comments? And do you have anything to add that, you know, without crushing people's dreams, you've got to give them the reality, right?
My approach to it is that no two people's journeys are the same. Mm. It's very much like marriage, I would assume. I'm engaged right now, and I'm learning that, this one's marriage is definitely different to that person's. And so it is with entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest and say, look, I didn't have a business plan. I just knew I had to work. And one job became the next job and the next job and the next job. And I was saving money. And then I was employing resources as and when I had resources available to do so sustainably. So I wasn't very specific, unlike Roxy, for example, who knew what her shop should look like, etc. I just knew I had to get jobs. And my plan was established as I was on the journey. So it's a very fun space for me, at least, because I chose to go and make money out of something I'm super passionate about. And I was able to create employment opportunities for people who are equally as passionate about the things I am. So I've been having a lot of fun, and all the things that have been really difficult, I've been able to mitigate because it's a fun space.
Right.
And I think that's the approach, just like a marriage. If you really are friends with your person, all the challenges life throws at you, you'll navigate the storms because together you guys are homies and friends or whatever. So that's kind of been my approach to this entrepreneurship journey. And I've never let a day really, really like break me to the point where I'm like, I'm done with this thing. I don't want it anymore. I'm divorcing entrepreneurship. No.
Yeah.
simply because I first chose what I love and chose to monetize what I love versus just going into entrepreneurship for the sake of being a business owner and not going into a 9-to-5.
So a lot of people like the creative side of things, but the really tough part, the disciplined part, the hard part is, you know, cash flow, staff, having to decide on the cost of things, figuring out invoicing, all of that stuff is really not always fun. And you learn the hard way, right? You make mistakes.
Yeah.
And some of those mistakes are costly.
Do you know, Gareth, in my past 7-year journey, we opened shop in 2013. From 2015, that's when I realized that, oh, shucks, I need an accountant. Before that, I was my own accountant. I was figuring it out. It's like, well, what do I need to do here?
Yeah, you wear every single hat in
Absolutely.
Your business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then when I realized that, shucks, I can't do this all on my own, I need people. So what type of people do I need? Okay, now all of a sudden I'm HR.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, I had an LLB because I had to figure out contracts and cancellation clauses. Do you know what I mean? So I had to figure out acts of God and how does that work with coronavirus cancellations? And it's just things that you learn. And Simbu's absolutely right. You learn as you go along. Very tough, extremely tough, because sometimes you're like, I don't want to deal with this. But no one else will, because at the end of the day, the client looks at you as a business owner.
And you are at the end of the list of priorities. Like, you yourself are the last one to get sorted out in this mix of things,
because
definitely. You have to make sure everybody else is taken care of, your clients, your staff, your partners, all the other people. And then right at the back of the queue is like you. And if you have corona, you cannot stay at home.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So true.
Yeah. Sibyl, what about the stuff that makes it really exciting for you about, you know, particularly the world that we're in at the moment, the connectivity of the world? You mentioned that some of the stuff you do has to do with social media.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel that makes it easier or more efficient for you to do the things that you do in your business? How does technology help?
So we're very – I'd like to call ourselves a boutique agency, I guess, because – we're able to react to things really quickly. Clients tend to just run to the room. Sometimes they aren't sure why, but they want us in the room, and then we'll find a space for ourselves to fit in the communication spectrum. Yeah. So with events, whether it's a product, whether it's just a message about what to watch on TV, whether it's, you know, spreading the word about what the Department of Health wants to do, or Gauteng Province, etc., we always have a job. And what that does is help us create jobs for other people. So that's super exciting for me. Like, sending proof of payments is one of my favorite things to do, simply because it's such a big challenge in our country. And here we are finding ways to solve that in a creative way, without, you know, requiring people to be super technical about what they do. So it doesn't matter what you do in this country, we will find a way to use you via social media. So you can be a mathematician, mm-hmm. but you like movies, so we can use you to amplify that you're watching such and such a movie, hence money in your pocket. So what connectivity does for us is enable us to communicate with mass numbers of people really quickly. From an event space, how we're able to employ technology into creative ways on stage, bringing in people from the US to send a message via a video that was shot, and just being able to do really cool things that show people you're actually one person away from anyone in the world. Like, that kind of opening of a person's mind and kind of making them happy using technology, that's my favorite thing to do. And creative solutions. So with Global Citizen, for example, we were discussing how do we have a global moment, because there are 8 cities that are activating an event at the same time. And all the ideas that were coming on involved technology. So yeah, it's so exciting. It's really cool. I really love it.
Well, finally, from all of you, this isn't just something that we thought of to bring you all together. Epson have been a supporter and a partner of Innovative Entrepreneurs throughout. They've created something of an emotional connection between Epson and the existing and potential consumers, everybody who dreams of having a small business of their own. And these guys often make it very, you know, very much more likely for you to succeed through the kind of equipment. I mean, yeah. they do printers, they do projectors, they Definitely. Do label makers, all yeah. kinds of interesting stuff. So how have you all utilized Epson in your work, and what do you guys do for them?
Epson has been absolutely amazing. First of all, with this, with what we've been doing with them, just like promoting our companies and putting it forward, but also helping us put in place systems and processes that help us save money and spend our money correctly. Because obviously, as an entrepreneur, cash flow is super hard. So it's always good to have systems and processes put into place that help you save money and put your money further, you know. So, yeah, it's been really, really cool working with them. And they're just such an amazing, great team. And, yeah, I've loved every moment.
You want to agree with that or disagree with
that? I want to add to it. So I've, in my person, it's as if they've been living in my dreams. I've wanted always to share my journey to the young black child, right? Be it a professional, be it an entrepreneur, just about personal branding, how important it is to take yourself seriously in whatever path you choose or take,
right.
And how you present yourself and how you present your work. Because I feel that the majority of the young black people in this country do not have the opportunities that we have sitting here, where I've been exposed in my personal capacity to people who do the, who are literally excellent at what they do. And I've been able to take tips on certain things like presentations, dotting I's, making sure that the logo is sitting in the right place, you know, it's perfectly situated, is a big thing, you know, because clients actually look at that. Yeah. But no one will tell you you won't know that if anyone doesn't tell you. So I've always wanted to, I don't know if it's a seminar, I haven't figured it out yet, but I've always wanted an opportunity or a platform to be able to share industry secrets and put a group of people who've been in the industry or who have been entrepreneurs, been professionals, to share secrets about how to better your offering as an individual.
Yeah, the nice thing about doing this this journey with Epson is it's given us a platform, or me a platform. Obviously, so Peruse Fashions our brand is very unique and quirky and different. Like, the clothing that we do is nothing like other brands in South Africa. And it's given us a nice platform to start, open a conversation with our consumers. So like, after we did the video and put the video forward, I got so many young girls message me and say, how do you start your own fashion brand? What do I need to do? Can you mentor me? So yeah. it did, like, it opened such a beautiful conversation with young people in South Africa that want to do their own thing, to inspire them, you know?
Absolutely.
Sibu, I'm going to let you have the last word, because we don't want you to think that we're ignoring you.
I'm in the process of refurbing an office so that we can finally have an office as a small team. And it's been really cool to, you know, like, how am I going to make the office efficient and have, you know, things ready to go? And Ibsen, we've always noticed printers, I think, in like spaces, but you haven't really thought about what goes into putting together an office. This is for me, at least, because I'm super young in this game. So finding out how affordable a printer is and how efficient you can make it by, like, the ink cartridges, and how little ink it uses versus how big printers use massive ink. You know, just those kind of things where corporatizing my agency and finding ways to go about it. Ibsen has really helped with that, but also just to re-emphasize what Linda and Roxy are saying, just the platform to spread the word, to spread the good word about entrepreneurship, that it's not all doom and gloom. It's not the last option when you can't find a job, but it can be the one option that you really want to see. And just being able to share tips and tricks that we've learned along our journey and say, guys, your journey can be better than ours. Just listen to what we've done.
Yeah,
and
you don't have to repeat the same mistakes.
Yeah.
All right. So Sibu Mabena, thank you very much. Sibu's company is called the Duma Collective. And Linda, thank you very much for coming in.
Most welcome, sir.
Linda is with LM Relations, Linda Mukhetsi. And then Roxy Ferreira, Peruz, P-A-R-O-O-Z Fashions. Go and visit them. She says the shop's open.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Right, very good. Thanks to all three of you. And well done to Epson for supporting entrepreneurship. It is 7:07, cliffcentral.com. We will see you tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, bright and early. Cliffcentral.com.